This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 92. Tom, say something quickly.
Quickly.
Ah, good work. We will be talking about Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes.
We will be talking about, oh, I've got a Star Warsy thing to talk about.
Okay.
And I apologize in advance to you personally because the quiz that I created, I thought was going to be really fun, and then it got really arduous for me, and then I realized once I finish it that it's going to be near impossible.
All right, bring it on.
But, you know, I'd done too much work. I couldn't let go of it.
No.
So that's what we're dealing with. And you've watched a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, this new stuff being trotted out.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
It's very exciting. So we'll have lots of watching suggestions for you today. Today we'll be talking about news, a lot of news.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Sure, why not?
Just do it.
Some big news that's happened over the last 24 hours for Australia. So they've confirmed with Disney Plus that is launching here November 19th.
That's great because that's the same month as the US.
Exactly. It's not maybe a week or something.
I don't know. It's not that long. We're fine.
And it's only going to be priced at Australian $8.99 a month, or you can pay like $90 for a year. Pretty reasonable.
That's pretty reasonable and pretty on par.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah.
With the others.
Netflix is like 16. I paid like 14 or 16 or something, but that's because I'm paying for three accounts.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's around the $8 to $10 mark. I can't remember.
Sure.
Because I'm stealing it from my sister.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because that's the second part of the news story. So Disney Plus is teaming up with some of the cable companies in the States and some charter company. And they're going to be cracking down on what and penalizing what they call piracy migration, which is a fancy term for password sharing.
Ah, okay.
So it's going to be doing something with your IP and maybe some sort of not geo-tracking but geolocation. So when you set up your account, you can show where it is. And that way, if there are devices that are at that residence a lot and use the account, it's probably fine.
Yep.
But if all of a sudden on the other side of town,
yeah,
you've gone to your friend's house for the night and you log in your password.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a little bit annoying.
It's a little bit annoying, a bit intrusive and stuff like that. I can understand why they're doing it and it makes sense to do it now before, you know. The best way I can equate this is some people are like, oh, I can't believe they're going to do this.
Yeah.
This is basically like when they crack down on Napster or Kazaa or your LimeWire. Remember all those sharing services?
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing where the industry's growing up a little bit. They realize they can control things a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And people get on board with it. And that's not to be confused with, like you said, if you've got, if you pay for a few accounts or they're not necessarily accounts, they're users,
yes,
aren't they? So that's what Tidy does. She's got three users. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm. So you're completely fine.
So I'm completely fine, but just it just sounds funnier to say you're stealing it.
I like that term. That
will still be something that Disney Plus will allow you to do.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
I think it's for when you're logged in at home watching and someone else is logged in watching somewhere else and they're not one of your key users.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're out.
Yep.
Buy your own.
Exactly.
$8.
It's not much.
Yeah. That's really good.
Mm.
Of course, this is where the discussion comes into how much is too much? How many streaming?
Sure, there's a lot of them.
Services are too many for one person. You know, when you start to get up to about two or three that you're paying for a month, I'd say that's probably most people's cutoff point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going crazy, and you want to consolidate it back again.
And also, there's just not enough hours in the day to be able to watch all of the things.
The backlog I've got.
I know. And then you've got the problem of, oh, I'm watching that show with that person, mm-hmm. and then that show's really just for me, but I can't watch it tonight because, you know, we're watching this.
Yes, or I've got to be in a certain mood for certain things, or am I prepared to commit 8 hours to finish this off?
And sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to let it go, like a book.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, big news this week.
Yeah.
Sony has acquired Insomniac Games. Now, they were the makers of last year's Spider-Man game. And in my head I went, but that was a Sony exclusive. Don't Sony already own them? But apparently not. They've just been super closely connected for years. Like, what's the game called? Ratchet and Clank, I think, is Insomniac Games as well. So been around for years and years and years. So this makes logical sense. And with Microsoft buying up a whole heap of games, do you call them game studios?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, they've been buying a lot of them in
Developers,
that's the word. Thank you. They've been buying a lot of them in the last couple of years in the lead up to the next gen of consoles. This makes sense that Sony would do that, which means you can guarantee 100% there's a Spider-Man 2 coming to PlayStation 5.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. About 2 days ago, Sony announced that Spider-Man Far From Home is now their highest earning film ever.
Ever?
95 or something years. Yeah.
That's crazy. And that's amazing. But the movie's not been out for that long. Like, we don't have, you know, like streaming or purchases. Like, I want to say DVD purchases, but you know what I mean. Like, people haven't bought the movie yet to watch at home.
It might just have been wrapping up in cinemas the last week or two. I think 2 weeks ago it was still in Australian cinemas at one screening a day or something like
that. Yeah, right. Pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. 1.109 billion.
Ooh, that'll be all right. They'll all be happy with that. What else have you got?
Some figures that I saw the other day. I didn't write them down, so it's going to be a bit more general. But
okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's about theatre versus home viewing.
Ah, right.
And expectations of where people have migrated. Now, there was a lot of fear that people would just start watching at home and not go to
the
cinema.
Yeah, the end of cinema.
Not the case. People love going out for specific things.
Experience.
Now, what are two types of films that you would say people prefer to go to the cinema to see?
Marvel and Star Wars.
Look, science fiction, it was reasonably up there. Number one was action adventure.
Yeah.
And number two was superhero. Number three, the number one for home viewing, romance. Number two, romantic comedy.
That makes sense. Yeah, you sit at home, have
an intimate experience.
Yeah, a bit of takeaway, just enjoy it.
You might cry.
You might, yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's something that is a lot more personable and personal, so you want to do it at home, whereas the one that indexed the highest, so people expect to go to the movies for action adventure and superheroes, but the one that has to be seen at the movies for the crowd is horror.
Ah.
And I think a lot of that is partly the shared experience, but it's also when you walk out of the film afterwards, you talk with your friends and show how not scared you were.
So safety in numbers?
Yeah. I think it's a herd mentality thing if you want to, you know, see it with the pack and feel strong about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very interesting. A lot of it, when you see it written down like that, you go, okay, that makes total sense.
So for you personally, because I know you're quite a horror fan.
Yes.
Which experience do you prefer?
I prefer to watch it at home myself with headphones on.
So you can get really scared.
Yeah, so I don't have the distraction and I don't have the safety net of people around.
Yeah.
I wait till people have gone to sleep and watch it at night in the dark, headphones on.
You're immersive.
Yeah.
Like, it's an immersive experience for you.
Yeah, and there are times when I've got to bail out halfway through and resume again the next night because it's just too much.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I thought so.
Romantic comedy. It does make sense, and it also makes sense why things like we were talking about it last week, Always Be My Maybe on Netflix, has done so well.
Yeah.
It's a romantic comedy and people can just watch it at home.
It's a comfy blanket.
Absolutely. Now, we were talking last week about Apple TV's The Morning Show trailer. Do you remember there was that weird teaser that didn't really show us much? It had the voiceovers of Steve Carell
and the empty
Jennifer
set.
Aniston. Yeah, empty set, Reese Witherspoon. Well, this week they have released a proper trailer so you can actually get an idea of what's going on.
Right.
the general gist is there is some sort of allegation, sexual harassment allegation towards Steve Carell, who is a host of The Morning Show alongside Jennifer Aniston. He has to leave. Jennifer Aniston talks about it on air without him there. This is just in the trailer. It's only a couple of minutes long. And then it feels like this iteration of The Morning Show is kind of stale, dying. Even with controversy, people kind of have had enough of the hosts, including Jennifer Aniston, who clearly had nothing to do with whatever the allegations are.
Right.
Along comes a young whippersnapper, Reese Witherspoon reporter, who wants to do something a bit different. And it feels like the producers and directors are trying to groom her and gear her up to be Jennifer Aniston's replacement. She doesn't want that.
Clearly.
Jennifer Aniston doesn't want that either. Interesting, though, this was pointed out in a couple of articles that I read, the fact that Reese Witherspoon is the young whippersnapper to Jennifer Aniston.
I was about to question.
There's like 7 years difference in age between those two.
But it is the media where, for a lot of women, life ends at 40, as awful as that is.
That's true. Yeah.
In that sort of role.
That's true. I think Jennifer Aniston's 50, making Reese Witherspoon about 43.
Okay.
It's not a big difference.
No.
Anyway, that looks like where the story's going.
Sure. Do you think that means Steve Carell might only be around in the first episode?
That's what I'm wondering.
He's a busy guy.
The shots that they showed of him looked pretty much self-contained in his home. He was smashing a television because he was very upset.
Oh.
His life has ended. That's what he said. Life has ended. So, interesting. It looks like it's going to be a drama, less comedy. Because we were kind of wondering what it would be. But it looks more dramatic than anything else.
That sounds serious. I don't know how they make a comedic premise out of that.
I did notice, though, Jennifer Aniston managed to throw the word honey in, which I think is, she says honey in everything she is in.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, honey.
Yeah. That's righto.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So Krypton, which has been on Sci-Fi, they've had two seasons, recently had a few episodes introducing Lobo, and they are another character from the DC Universe. He's a pale white giant motorbike riding alien. He throws a chain around. He's obsessed with dolphins. He speaks like a hillbilly. It's a weird character.
He kind of sounds like, if Game of Thrones was set more in the future,
yes,
he would be from the north and Tormund's friend.
Very much so. Imagine a really metal-looking, like painted up like
Kiss-looking
Tormund.
Yeah.
Who rides a space bike.
Amazing.
And, as I say, is obsessed with dolphins.
There's no reason why this wouldn't be a success.
Yeah, so they introduced him in order to spin him off into his own show.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Krypton has been cancelled.
Damn.
Yes, very surprisingly to all involved, and the Lobo show won't be going ahead.
Ah.
However, the show is potentially moving over to the DC Universe, the app.
Okay.
Exactly, that was my reaction.
Okay.
They've had Doom Patrol, Titans, and Swamp Thing, which Swamp Thing made it, I think, 8 of their 10 episodes before it got cancelled.
I'm pretty sure Swamp Thing had its first episode and they said, when this is finished, this is the end.
So let's see how this goes.
Yeah, this sounds okay.
It's a shame, but I didn't keep up with the program.
But others did.
Others did. Others are quite passionate about it. I never got the appeal of, like, Gotham I struggled with as a show at start. Like, okay, let's watch Bruce Wayne as a kid.
Mm.
But Krypton is like, let's watch Superman's parents when they're younger deal with stuff. And it's like, well,
you don't really want to.
No, they're not going to die because they've, like, there's no actual drama there. We know what's going to happen. That planet's going to blow up.
Mm.
They're going to have a kid. They're going to put him in a rocket and shoot him off.
That's the problem with prequels.
Yeah.
You already know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
No, I'm not apprehensive about the Game of Thrones prequels, but we already know what's happened. All right, this is some news that I thought you'd be pretty keen about. And maybe you found it as well, but Merle from The Walking Dead and the blue bloke from Guardians
Michael
of the Galaxy.
Rooker.
Yeah. He's been cast in Fast and the Furious 9.
Excellent.
Which is really interesting because they're already filming.
Yeah. They will quite often do this. He might have been cast a little bit ago and they were waiting to announce him.
That's true. That's a good point.
Sometimes they will do that with these films if it's a big name and they're filming outdoors so that crowds and paparazzi don't...
Going, Merle?
Yeah, don't... Well, and swarm and try and spoil it.
Well, his character's name is Buddy. Don't know if Buddy's a good guy, a bad guy. I don't know where he fits in the story, but it's Michael Brooker, so I'm imagining a slightly bad guy.
Oh, see, he can go a few ways. He could be an angry authority figure. I've seen him play that. Like, imagine if he was a pissed off hillbilly cop that they upset at the beginning of the film and he chases them. I could definitely see that. But there's also been various members of the Toretto family crew that I could see him being a distant relative of. I've forgotten his name, but there's a tall, really muscly dude with a beard in 1 and 4. He dies in 4, but I could see him being his father. Coming back to ask Dominic, what's up?
What happened?
Everyone's busy about hashtag justice for Han, but what about the other people that we've lost?
Yeah.
I just got excited because I realised that I might see Michael Rooker on screen with Ludacris and my brain will explode.
So it's all good news then.
Oh, that's fantastic news.
I'm glad I could provide
that's
it.
That's a really good one.
I'm surprised he hasn't been in it before because he just seems like the kind of actor who should be in those movies.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
He is.
He does a lot of weird little pop-up things. And goes to conventions a lot.
And does a lot of voiceovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy's busy. Probably more rich than we think. So if you go onto Ancestry.com and find out he's a distant relative, you can ask him if he could stay at his house. He'd probably say no, but worth a crack.
Worth a crack, he might.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So Stephen Amell, who has been on Arrow since the beginning. He plays Arrow.
Oh.
I know. So they're doing their last season at the moment.
Yep.
And he's already lined up his next gig.
Oh, what's he doing?
It sounds really cool to me. Like, this is something I'm very into. It's it's over on Starz, which is another smaller cable network in the States.
Mm-hmm.
They did Party Down years ago, which is a great comedy series. They make some very interesting choices kind of let creators do their own thing.
Yeah, nice.
So he's going to be starring in a wrestling drama series called Heels.
They're the bad guys, right?
Yes, you remember.
Yes.
Heels are the bad guys in wrestling. It's 8 episodes, and the showrunner, the guy in charge of it all, is Mike O'Malley, who you might know better as the doorman from The Good Place.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the thing? Was there something about a frog?
Yeah, Frogman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's obsessed with frogs.
That's right.
And Michael brings him a thermos with a frog on it. Right. He gets very excited.
I would too, to be honest. Okay, so, I mean,
he's been a showrunner on a lot of things. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's just...
I knew his face. Mm-hmm. When I saw him in The Good Place, I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy's in things.
So I think he was the showrunner on, I want to say, Blue Bloods.
Oh, okay.
Or one of those cop programs for quite a few years.
It's quite different then. He's done a whole heap of different things.
Yes.
This is giving me slight Glow vibes.
I thought you might go that way. I think it's going to be a little more masculine.
It's the boy's answer to Glow.
Yeah, and the fact that it's called Heels is these are going to be bad guys.
But are they really bad?
No,
or
no.
Or is it just there?
I think behind the scenes, these are going to be the asshole guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good spin on it.
Yeah.
Because usually, I mean, people know heels are bad guys in the story, but you assume that the actual wrestlers they're totally fine.
Yeah.
Wasn't The Rock a heel for a bit?
Oh, yeah. At the beginning, he was a heel, and then he was so charming that he won everyone over, and they loved him because he was a heel. Then he turned babyface. No, look, there's a whole bunch of stories, especially from the 90s, late 90s, around when WCW was falling over, of some of the guys that played bad guys on screen having way too much power in the company and becoming actual bad guys that tanked the company.
So do we know when this is set? Could it be set in the 90s?
I think it's going to be modern era.
Okay.
But who knows? And this makes a lot of sense because Stephen Amell is a massive wrestling fan and has competed on WWE a few times.
No way.
Yeah, he was a celebrity entrant at a...
That's fun.
I want to say a SummerSlam, might have been a WrestleMania. But yeah, he's... And can actually get in there and scrap. And it's not like a two-minute performance. It was like a 10-minute drawn-out slobber knocker.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. He trained hard for it.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Speaking of training hard, you know how the Mortal Kombat movie is going to be filmed in Adelaide? Well, last weekend they had a casting call for extras. 3,000 people showed up.
They do want
a lot of extras, but not that many.
Not that many.
I think they were after about 1,500.
Okay.
Something like that. But they're pretty happy with the turnout. Like the casting director was talking about how there were people from all over the country who came along to Adelaide just to see if they could be an extra. And she said, we can't employ enough people at the moment to keep up with the people who have appeared, but it's really, really exciting. They will be starting in September, shooting,
right,
and should wrap up around December.
Okay.
So exciting times for Adelaide.
I was going to say, I would be interested to know how many people travelled to Adelaide for the Mortal Kombat movie that had never been to Adelaide before.
Probably quite a few.
I reckon there's an interesting...
Have you been to Adelaide? I went when I was about six, so memories.
I've never been to Adelaide and I've never been to Perth. I've been all Darwin, Alice, all the rest, but
yeah,
I'm afraid of the Westies.
I've been to Alice Springs.
I've been there. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's dry.
It's so much further away from Uluru than I had anticipated.
Sure, it's quite a way.
That was a drive in a hire car to get there, but it was a nice drive. It was a drive that you... I'm talking like, if I say 4 hours, I feel like I'm...
Oh, that's being...
Being appropriate.
Yeah, maybe even very
bit
generous.
Longer. But yeah, like just deserty stuff that you would never see when you live on the coast or any other part of the world.
Mm.
Interesting. How do we get there? Oh, Mortal Kombat. Yeah, so congratulations to the extras that actually got the nod of approval.
They should make more weird movies in Adelaide and attract a new tourist.
Yeah, extras.
Yeah.
So you know how you're talking about The Hunt, that movie
yes.
that was going to be released and then wasn't going to be released because there was lots of controversy because it looked like, what liberals and Republicans getting angry with each other? And, well, the movie's about, I think, so looking at the trailer, it looked like the rich liberals were the people
yep.
that were hunting the...
Deplorables.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's basically satire. That it was obvious.
Clearly.
And also, like, Betty from Glow, hello, loved the fact that she was in it. But people freaked the hell out about
yes.
that movie existing. And from what you were saying, it appeared that no one has actually watched the whole movie. They're basing it basically on the synopsis
yep.
and the trailer.
Yep.
Ridiculous. So, latest news this week is... Don't say it's never coming out.
Yeah, I saw something. Jason Blumhouse is the head of Blumhouse. He's got almost as golden touch as Kevin Feige from Marvel. He said, don't count it out.
Yeah.
Wait till things simmer down.
Universal kind of said the same thing.
Yeah, they'll find a way to put it out.
It's going to come out. I also wonder if they had said no, it's not coming out, and then they got all this publicity and went, oh, maybe we should talk about releasing it.
You think it's a ploy to show everyone how controversial it
yeah.
is? Could work. It's the only reason I watched I Spit on Your Grave. That was a terrible film.
But I've never even heard of that.
It's early 70s.
Okay, I'll be fine then. Yeah. But, like, if you hadn't have spoken about it, I wouldn't have known that it existed, and now I'm interested
sure.
in seeing it. So... It's
Chatter.
Worked on me.
Word of mouth.
Absolutely.
Well done. Can't even buy that sort of eyeball coverage.
Exactly.
Especially not for a Blumhouse picture.
No way.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Have you had your fill of news?
I've had my fill.
Push the bowl away.
I'm ready for some solid watching suggestions.
Da 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 da. Solid watching. Da 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 da. Solid watching. Da 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 da. Solid watching.
Suggestions. I was waiting to. I just wanted to be part of the end.
Oh, you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We've never done that before, but you still knew. Maybe we spent too much time in here.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm happy, though. Mm. All right. So you said to me before we started recording that you've watched a lot of new stuff.
I did watch a lot of new stuff.
I'm excited.
Yes, we're going to dive into some of that. But first, some checklist stuff that we don't need to go further in.
Perfect.
Number one, Shay was very excited because yesterday JoJo Siwa... JoJo Siwa dropped a new special called Follow Your D-R-E-A-M.
Oh, my gosh. Just the one.
Well, okay. JoJo was setting out on a tour of the States, her first major tour, doing 90 shows in like 105 days or something.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And it looked like she was doing a lot, not like community centres, but like where you'd go and see the Wiggles, mm-hmm. all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
So it's that kind of thing. Flashy production, only a half-hour show. Shay loved it. I enjoyed reading my phone. But next time Shay's on, we'll ask her about it.
We will.
I've been watching more of that Scooby-Doo and Guess Who that I told you about last week.
Penn and Teller.
I was like, this is pretty good. I should check out some more. I'm so glad I did.
Really?
I can wholly recommend this show. I watched one episode that had Ricky Gervais.
Oh, no way.
And it was Ricky Gervais playing Ricky Gervais. And he got the mystery team in because there was a mummy cat, or like a humanoid cat mummy.
I'm imagining like an ancient Egyptian mummified cat sort of thing.
Yes, so like a werewolf mixed with a mummy type
thing. I'm on board.
Bothering his apartment.
Loving it. He loves cats.
That's a running joke throughout the episode.
He's got a Siamese or something.
He does. Yeah. Ollie.
Yeah, Ollie, that's
Ollie's
right.
In the
he
show
always
as well.
Posts pictures of him on Twitter.
Ollie is in almost every frame of the episode with him.
Must have been part of the contract.
But he just... In the same way that last week's episode had a weird fart moment, this one had they clearly just let Ricky Gervais go in the vocal booth because he starts picking on all the kids for their catchphrases, but then makes extra fun of Scooby Doo because he's like, you don't even have a catchphrase, you just say your name, Paulie. It's like, imagine if I did that, walk into rooms, go, it's Ricky Gervais, and then does that for about a minute. It was so weird.
That's amazing.
It was really good. Then the next episode straight after was Urkel.
Oh. What's his name?
Jamil White?
Yes.
It was Steve Urkel. Steve Urkel, but playing Urkel.
Did I do that? How many times?
About every 40 seconds. So if you can stomach Urkel, you'll really enjoy it. I struggled with it a bit because I don't care much for Urkel, but he is the butt of all the jokes, and the mystery team have had enough of him by the end.
Yeah, fair enough.
Thank goodness for that.
It sounds like this iteration of Scooby-Doo is really going in different ways that are fresh and picking the audience who would have watched it when they were kids.
I might have peeked at who's coming up, and there's one in particular that made me go, oh, that's clever.
Okay.
Sia. Uh-huh.
How did they get Sia?
I don't know. But
she's from Adelaide, by the way.
Ah, there we go. It's going to be Sia. They're going to make fun of her hair.
I want to watch it.
See what I mean? Like they've cherry-picked some really clever celebs to pull in people our age.
That's so interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
And then finally of my checklist things, Adam Ruins Everything is back.
Yes.
Which is great. This week's episode was Adam Ruins America, and he kind of talks about how the Constitution shouldn't be upheld as the Bible, which is a really good thing. And for speaking as an Australian to our American friends, get on board with amending things. We change our stuff all the time, and it's better. And I'm not talking gun laws and things like that, but it's just any sort of change you want to get through could be really difficult. And this is what he goes into in the episode of sometimes laws have been changed and might take 80 years to actually shift in society. It's very interesting data.
I do find it interesting when you have a look through those sort of weird lists of laws around the world that are still in place because no one's bothered amending them. And a lot of them... No one will ever break that law because that thing doesn't exist anymore, but it's still in there as a law. I'm not just talking about the US, I'm talking about everywhere.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Bizarre.
Like, don't let your horse drink out of a trough out the front of something. Or, you know, like just something where you're like, well, I can't because troughs don't exist anymore. And also don't have a horse. I could, though.
You could have a horse.
I could have a horse.
You could take your own trough.
portable troughs. Brilliant. So that's all of your regular watching?
That's my regular watching. Okay. But do you want one new thing?
I
and
want
then
a
you
new thing.
All right. Hold your horses.
Horses, my horse, yeah.
Yes, so I know you like a good chat show.
I do.
You do like a chat show with a difference?
It's the only way I like them now.
All right, so I watched a very unusual chat show that going in, I thought this is probably going to be pretty rubbish. And at the end of the half hour, I was like, I'm on board for the rest of this.
Wow.
It's called Straight Up Steve Austin, and it's a chat show with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And imagine Oprah, but it's outside. There's no audience,
mm-hmm.
but it's outside on a ranch. And instead of a book review, they drive a tank
okay.
and review that.
An actual army tank?
An army tank.
Okay.
So the first episode is with Rob Riggle, who was in he's a comedian. You would have seen a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Very funny guy. And he was in the military for 23 years.
Okay. So he knows his stuff. Yeah.
Yes. So they drive a tank around for a while and crush a car. And then they rip the car doors off and then...
With what? Their own...
Just their bare hands. They've crushed this car so much. Man. They can, yeah, they're very, very
manly. Yes, manly.
Then there's a cooking segment.
Okay.
Yep.
Please tell me that they've got someone like, I don't know, Martha Stewart or Rachel Ray just popping up randomly.
It's a fancy chef.
Oh, okay.
From somewhere in LA. But he's cooking... He makes, like, fried chicken, but it, like, does it in metal tubs, like old school metal baths.
Oh,
in the backyard.
Right. Okay.
Like
yeah.
real home style
sure.
cooking. And then the two of them help with that, and the one that wins that
yep.
at the end gets to fire them a giant like, tripod machine gun at the doors that they... It's so weird.
That's hilarious.
And it's all played straight. There's no jokes. Like they make jokes to each other and stuff, but it's not a comedy in any way. It's blokes having fun. And it's like really macho talk show. And... It's way too much testosterone for me.
But you're going to watch it again, aren't you?
Hell yeah. And it's interesting watching Stone Cold dance around swear words.
Oh, he won't do it?
Well, he will on occasion, but it's more like damn and...
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah, flipping hell.
Oh, yeah.
All that sort of stuff. But you can see him wanting to go harder, but aware of the audience that the TV show will have.
Of course.
So I haven't even looked to see who the guests coming up are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be spoiled with this. I'm just going to dive in and enjoy it because it was so stupid.
It's so random. Like everything you said is just random.
Drive tank, crushing cars, cook chicken in old metal bins, baths, and fire a
winner
tripod.
Winner gets tripod machine gun.
Machine gun.
I'm glad these things exist.
Look, it sat on my iPad for like 5 days. I was like, oh, I'll get to that eventually. I'll get to that. And when I put it on, within 3 minutes, I was like, why did I wait for this? So the first episode is on the US iTunes store for free.
Oh, worth giving a go then.
Yeah, so if you've got access to it. I'm not sure. I haven't checked on the Australian one. But there you go. There's an inside tip. You can actually go and download it for free right now.
Awesome. We shalt do that immediately.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We were talking about wrestling before. We were talking about GLOW. I have caught the beginning of GLOW Season 3 because
yes.
you know I like GLOW.
Yeah.
And they're in Vegas, which we knew. Gina Davis is amazing.
Awesome.
It's just like, oh, why haven't you been in it since the beginning? Why aren't you in almost everything dressed in the 1980s clothing? It's everything she needs to be and more.
It's right.
It's just right. So the first episode, there was a bit where I went, oh, yeah, you got to feel for them because there's no way you would have any idea that that was going to backfire so spectacularly. So there's one character who is very like, she's like the true blue. I'm going to say true blue, American woman, you know, like hero, superhero, USA, USA, yeah. And then there's another one, a heel, who is the Soviet Russian character, and, you know, down with America and all that sort
Rusev.
Of stuff. That's right. So they teamed up with this local news channel in the 1980s, and they were going to talk over, like, commentary over the Challenger space launch.
Okay.
We know what happened.
Yeah.
So you've got the heel there being the Russian Soviet going, Americans, why are you calling a challenger? That's not a winning name. That's a loser name. That's a runner-up name. A teacher, who wants a teacher? And then suddenly, like, things go wrong, as it did. In the Challenger space launch, rocket launch, spacecraft launch, the launch, and you just see them live on air commentating as these characters suddenly just going, oh, crap, this is real, this is happening, and we're doing this. And there was just so much awkwardness. so awkward.
Wow.
And it was the rest of the episode was sort of just them going, should we continue doing this after that happened?
Yeah.
And like, you know, you can feel for them because there's no way they would have ever been able to predict that that was going to be a thing. And it seemed like a fun idea, right? You've got America versus Soviet with a race to the outer space. This would be perfect. And then that happens. And I think it was very clever because this kind of thing still happens. I mean, for example, in radio stations, if something like a shooting or, you know, terrible bushfires where people are losing things, lives or properties or whatever, you have to take out all of the songs that you can possibly think about that would have any reference to anything like that. And you've got to think really quick because maybe the next song is a song called Burn, Burn, Burn. You know, like, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Go, I got to take this out now. And if you don't, if you get busy doing something and that gets played, people are not happy. People like, also it is the age of the internet and people like to be outraged on behalf
this
of others.
This is very true.
So I just thought the episode was very clever, setting it in the 80s, yet these issues still happen, and sometimes even more so.
Yeah, I think perhaps in the 80s you could bounce back from that in the career, where today that would be very difficult.
You'd just feel like, okay, bye.
Yep.
I'm out of here.
Yep. It'd be like when that guy, remember that guy who was being interviewed on the news and his kids ran in the background?
And then the wife runs in to drag the kids out
that's
again.
That's all he is for the rest of his life.
Yeah. And that's a journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a serious
reporting
guy
about the news, and that's what we know him for. What else have you watched?
So I watched a new program called Danny's House. Now, there's a rapper called Danny Brown, and he has a interesting voice, I'll say.
Okay.
He sounds kind of like a male Wanda Sykes.
Okay.
Yep, it's a very, it goes a lot of places. There's a lot of range.
Okay, yep.
It's all over the shop.
Yeah.
So he now has his own TV show, and it's on Vice. So you know it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was going to be quite as weird going in as it was, in that it's kind of him doing like a Mr. Rogers style Welcome to the Neighborhood show set in his basement. And
of
his mum comes down every now and then to let him know when friends have come over to play. But the friends are celebrities.
Oh, nice.
And they come over.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. And they come over and talk about like really heady, big topics.
It sounds like a comedic initial idea.
Yeah. So there's weird puppets and things going on throughout. There's a talking burrito that lives in the microwave. And there's a peeping Tom telescope. Like there's a telescope that talks and peeps on people. And
in a cellar. Or basement.
In the basement. Yeah. So there's some weird stuff going on, but when he's sitting and talking to the celebrities, it's a little more serious, but they're still being a bit silly.
It sounds very eclectic.
It's all over the shop.
Yeah.
So the first episode had ASAP Rocky, another rapper, and Ron Funches, who you know, I'm a big fan of Ron Funches.
Yeah, one of your favorites.
That's right. They were discussing UFOs. And the second episode was all about AI, and that was with Ilana Glazer and John Sally, who's an NBA superstar that's been in a couple of movies.
So that would explain why I know the name but have no idea who he is.
Yeah, you'd see him and you go, oh, that guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just another weird show that I couldn't see being on anywhere other than Vice.
Yeah.
In that it exudes cool. The fact that they're banking on a rapper being weird, he's telling lots of stories. This rapper is known for ingesting a lot of substances and then writing about his experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a show that shows that his actual life in his mind is like that.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Yeah. Would you watch again?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I'd subscribe to series.
Oh, great.
I'm on board.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Got a watching suggestion?
Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, this is something that I watched. Actually, I spoke about this a year ago, sort of. I went and saw the Sydney Symphony Orchestra at the Sydney Opera House performing Return of the Jedi.
I remember. You got all fancied up.
Yeah, so last year was Empire Strikes Back. This right. is Return of the Jedi. We decided we'd go and check the third installment out. I didn't see the first one. I don't even think I knew it was on. But that's fine. Like, two is great. The first... So the Empire Strikes Back, I was watching it, and I kept, maybe it was where we were sitting as well. I think we were a bit closer. And I was watching not only the movie, but I was watching the musicians as well and watching how they were performing it. They had screens in front of them, which would have literally bars going across the movie that they were watching, which indicated the bars of music. And the conductor had the same thing. And then, you know, I go, oh, that's right, I watched a movie. And I kept flipping between both, which I guess is what you're supposed to do. This one, it was a bit weird. So I was sitting further back, I think. It feels like I was further back. Also, we bought tickets sort of last minute-ish, so we all had to sit separately.
Okay.
Which is a very different experience than having like a friends next to you so you can comment going, wow, it's really amazing. I was sitting next to two middle-aged couples and the women were laughing at everything. I love the Ewoks. But anyway, everybody was having a really great time. But I remember going to see the first one, and as soon as they start playing the 20th Century Fox, you know, the drums, the crowd just goes crazy, and you legitimately get, you know, that like all the hair on the back of your neck stands up, the shivers happen all the way down your spine. You're like, this is amazing. And then the Star Wars theme starts. You're just like, oh. And it's so much louder than it would ever be if you were watching a movie. Yeah. And not only was the experience felt more fanny, like fandom, than the last one.
Okay.
I don't know why. Maybe I was just more aware of it. But when big themes started, you know, like Darth Vader's theme started, you know, the crowd would cheer because, you know, these musicians were doing an amazing job. And you'd look down in parts where you assume there's no music. But there are, like, there are people, the harpist is playing, or there's a couple of flutes having a crack because that's what is in the script, the score. It's so cool. But they were also cheering at things like rebel scum, you know, and it's a trap.
Of course, that for me, that'd be the biggest pop of the night.
It was so much fun. And I know that they've got another one coming, I think, next month. This is in Sydney for The Force Awakens, which I suspect will have a very different feel because there won't be the nostalgia factor.
Yeah, sure.
But it still might be, I think it would be really cool. And I know that the score's different. There's new aspects in A Force Awakens, so I'm tempted to check it out.
If you could go and see any movie scored like that by an orchestra, what would you go see?
Oh, hands down Star Wars, because for me Star Wars, it emotes everything.
Sure.
It is my childhood. You know, like when Darth Vader's music starts, I'm immediately taken back to when I was 4 or 5 watching the first one, being scared and having to hide behind the lounge because Darth Vader was coming. So for me that, or something like Indiana Jones.
I think every answer we give is going to be John Williams, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Jurassic Park. Like,
yeah,
that
Jurassic
would be really
Park.
Cool. The worst movie I could imagine to go and see.
Yeah.
It's got an amazing soundtrack, but to see with an audience like that would be Requiem for a Dream.
Yes.
Because I would love to see that.
That's not
live.
An audience thing, though, is it?
No.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's true.
You sit out with an audience, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, that's right. So I know that other orchestras do this around the world, and if you get the chance, definitely go and watch one. They're so clever. And you feel so special being able to witness and experience people performing live for you. What I didn't like... And not a lot of people did it, but what I didn't like was when the credits came, people stood up and started walking out. I'm like, excuse me.
They're still playing.
They're still playing. You sit down and you wait for them to finish and then you can go.
Yeah, where's the applause?
Very rude. But like I said, not many people did it.
So last thing I'll talk about was just very quick. About every 6 months there seems to be, like, there's tons of these shows, like Building Giants, Mega Machines, stuff like that. Oh, about every 6 months there's an episode of a roller coaster being built.
Yeah.
Which is great. I get very excited about it. So this week on Building Giants, there was a roller coaster mega build at Canada's Wonderland. That's no big deal. Whatever. The coaster itself was amazing. Tallest, highest, fastest dive coaster. But
what?
While they were showing around different parts of the park, twigged something in my memory and I remembered. So we had a Wonderland here in Sydney.
Yeah.
Two not affiliated at all.
Okay.
But you remember the demon we had?
Yes.
That red monstrosity.
Yeah.
Great roller coaster. After here, it went to a few different places in the world and it ended up at Wonderland. I recognized it like in a
montage. So it got dismantled and brought and taken to another Wonderland.
Eventually. I think it stopped off at like Singapore for a while or something.
That's
first.
So cool. I didn't know that that was a thing that would happen.
That's a very regular thing that happens.
Yeah, right.
Roller coaster chains will regularly debut a big coaster at one of the coasts and then slowly move them more inland.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So, yeah, I just thought it was amazing.
It exists. It's
Sydney
still there.
Friends, the demon lives on.
Aw, I don't know why, but that makes me feel happy.
Yeah. Well, look, I think it's 15 years since Wonderland's gone.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. Isn't it a water park now?
No, it's a business park.
Oh.
So Wet n Wild is out that area.
But it's a different
location. Mm. All of Wonderland. Because of my dad's construction business and stuff, I have access. There's some tool that they use where you can use Google's imagery over the years.
Oh, cool.
And see the progress on things. So they do that all the time so they can track their work.
That's interesting.
But like I jumped on that and looked at Wonderland getting pulled down.
Wow.
And then slowly getting turned into this business park you can't even see anymore.
Hmm.
Interestingly, the animal park to the side of Wonderland hung around for longer because they didn't need to dismantle that as quick. The ride stuff they could sell elsewhere.
Yeah.
So like you could still see the crocodile tank and everything for ages.
Huh.
There you go.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like weird stuff.
I like it too. All right, let's get into Fear the Walking Dead.
Mm.
So last week it was all like documentary stuff filmed by the group that we're following in Fear the Walking Dead. This week it wasn't. It was back to the conventional way.
Was I the only one slightly disappointed that it didn't stick up?
Little bit. Yeah, but I kind of... As soon as I saw that they were in some of them were in a mall, I was like, oh, this is...
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
So they've been touching on some of the zombie touch points, I guess you'd say, over the last season as they're trying this different stuff. And, yeah, you can't do big zombie stuff without having a mall.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that I don't think either show have ever spent a serious amount of time in a mall. Which makes the most sense of where you try and hole up.
Absolutely.
Especially after a while and things have settled down and there's going to be less raiders and this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Get in there because there are doors and stuff that can be closed.
Exactly. Security systems.
Yeah.
Cameras. Generators.
Carousels.
Carousels. No Cinnabon.
No. It was an outrage, wasn't
Daniel
it?
Daniel was not happy. He was listing all the different varieties of scroll making.
Speaking of Daniel, how disappointed were you that Dwight refused to let him cut his hair properly?
What do you mean properly?
Well.
He looked gorgeous.
Yeah, but it was still long. I was expecting like a proper makeover 1980s style where, you know, you turn the chair around and everything's different.
Oh.
He did look different though. He did scrub up.
He looks a lot like Christian Bale. You'll see him again next week when he's clean shaven.
He's Christian Bale's brother.
Well, skinny Christian Bale, like the machinist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not as skinny as that, but like there's a hint of the Christian Bale in there.
It was interesting that lose the beard, he does look different. I didn't think it worked.
It really changed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Daryl tell him to... He didn't say pay it forward, but...
Yeah, basically.
That's basically what he's doing.
Earn it, James. Earn it. Sorry.
What was your highlight of the episode?
I think using a remote control car with like a Just Married style thing on the back of it was very clever.
I thought that was really, really cool. The highlight for me is not necessarily a fun bit. It was at the end when Morgan's just like, oh, Grace, I'm going.
Yep.
And she was like, huh? And just watch the disappointment in both of their faces as he drives away. I'm hoping there's more storyline to that.
There's got to be. They've set that up.
He
told her to be brave so many times that there's going to be a moment where she goes, I'm going to be brave, and leans in to kiss him.
Morgan's going to have a love interest.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be on board with it.
Yeah.
And if she does that, you know she's going to have cancer.
Oh, yeah, that's the end of her, because we don't know, because she decided not to check.
That's right, which means she will have it.
Mm, absolutely. And he's off to hang out with Alicia, because he is her Yoda to her Luke.
Al probably needs some help with the cameras again.
Oh, yeah. And then we might get some more of the documentary style.
Fingers crossed, or at least some trees.
Yeah, oh, we need to know more about those trees.
I'm interested in those trees.
Yeah. I'm still on board with the theory that's out there.
Also, where's the guy in the wheelchair? He's not around much.
Was he in last week's, the documentary one? I don't...
He might have been in a shot or two. So I'm convinced that he's off filming something else, because if you look at the first half of last season...
Yeah.
He gets some stuff to do in the end. Like, when I say last season, I mean the 8 episodes that just happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He gets some stuff to do in the last episode, mm-hmm. and I think he pops up in the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember whether we see him in the other episodes at all. We see plenty of mouthy
lady.
Trucker.
Trucker lady.
She's got plenty to say.
Yeah.
So I reckon he must be off doing something else.
All right. Keep an eye out for what that is.
What, I think it's Daryl Mitchell.
The actor.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Who's the guy who was in that stuff, the sci-fi thing?
He was in Galaxy Quest.
Sci-fi thing.
The sci-fi
thing. How good am I?
Very spot on.
Friends stopped working.
Friends, we are tired.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a week. Do you know? You know what I think would be a good way to finish off the week?
Oh, how do you want to spend that?
Could you please crack my egg open like an egg and give me a very difficult quiz?
I'm really sorry in advance for
this one. No, it's okay. I don't need these last remnants of my soul.
So, quiz time. This one was thought upon whilst driving, where most of my half-baked ideas come from. I thought, oh, we could do a quiz about characters of TVs or movie shows whose names are like months or days.
Right.
But then I started researching and realised I couldn't do 12 because they don't exist.
Let me try and guess a few. January Jones.
That's the first one. What's she been in?
She was on Mad Men.
And Last Man on Earth. They're the only two things I could remember her in.
She was also in, I want to say, X-Men First Contact.
Oh,
not First Contact. First Class.
Yeah, right.
She played Emma Frost.
She's got a frosty look about her, but I think that's just because I watched her in Mad Men.
Sure, she got resting bitch face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, what about... So what I'll do is I'll give you the month or the day, and you can just come up with any that you can think of. They can be actresses. By the way, they're all female because... Oh, no, one's a man. They're actors or characters. Wednesday
Adams from... Adam's fan.
Yeah. That one popped up in my head very quickly because of the trailer.
Sure.
That we were talking about last week. May.
Aunt May from Spider-Man.
That was the first one. This isn't as hard as I was worried about.
This is going to tickle some deep cut stuff.
All right. So this one, I know you're not going to get my first option, but potentially you might get the second one, or one I've never heard of before.
So I'm going to say June.
Yeah, June.
From Handmaid's
Yes.
Tale is your one.
Okay, the other one I thought of was a really old sitcom. I'm talking like maybe 50s or 60s. Bordering more on 50s. Definitely black and white.
I love Lucy.
No. It's the boy, not Dennis the Menace, but the other one.
Richie Rich.
Oh, no, the other one. Okay, what's the animal that in creeks and rivers likes to build dams?
Beaver. Leave it to Beaver.
Yeah. The mum's name was June.
There you go.
June Cleaver.
I think there's also a June in Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm confusing universes. Don't worry. There's a character named June Covington. Maybe that is. I don't know.
A lot of Junes are posh.
They're very posh.
Very posh.
Very posh.
Which is why Elizabeth Moss is playing against character. Because June should be posh. What am I up to? April.
April Ludgate. From
who's Ludgate? I was sure you were going to come up with the one I came up with. But go.
April Ludgate is Parks and Recreation, I think.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza. Aubrey Plaza's character.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think of her. That's good. I thought of April O'Neil.
Oh, that's an even easier one.
That's low-hanging fruit. Absolutely.
Okay.
The last one, I was like, I really should find one that's a bloke.
Right.
Friday. It's something that, it's from a book. It was probably made into a movie. In fact, it was. It's a classic. You would call it a classic. He's known as, I don't think it was Boy Friday. I think it was Man Friday.
Oh, I don't. Robinson Crusoe?
Yeah.
Thanks for whispering that to me. How do I know Robinson Crusoe?
I've never read that, but I was like, oh, there's a man or boy day something. It's a character.
My Man Friday. Now I know where that saying comes from. I've heard some rappers say that before.
They're big Robinson Crusoe fans, obviously.
I don't know. I don't know enough about him, but didn't he live in a house in a jungle?
Yeah, I think he was exploring islands or islas.
So he's like a Captain Cook motherfucker.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's Gulliver's Twist sort of. No, Gulliver's Travels kind of thing. I think he's more of a. It's a combination.
What's Gulliver's Twists? I'm interested in that.
I think I made that up.
Is that like Round the Twist takes on Gulliver's Travels? Like tiny little adventures in a lighthouse?
Produced by the ABC. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really good, by the way.
Thanks. I did better than you led me to believe I would do.
Because I was sure June, I was like, well, I know that her name's June, but I don't expect you to remember it. And you're like, oh, June from Handmaid's Tale. I'm like, whoa.
I listen. I pay attention.
I am very impressed.
Thanks.
That was really good. If you want to stump us with a quiz, or if you want me to stump Tom with a quiz that you've made up, you can send us an email with said quiz. In the body of the email to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
You don't even have to throw together a whole quiz if you don't want to. If you just think of a great question that might stump me, send it in.
Yeah.
Because we can build quizzes around things.
Yes.
Be a prompter.
Be a muse.
Mm.
Yeah, just give me the inspiration and I'll...
Be my Matthew Bellamy.
That's more than enough for this week. Because we need to have a lie down. Tom, thank you very much.
I'm shutting the door.